time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Jeff Sessions, he got his walking papers finally. We know this was coming for months and months, for quite a long time actually, probably since he got into the office. But again, people, their heads are falling off. Is it a constitutional crisis or is this all overstated? Let's get to the top stories here on the show, please, and welcome on here. Ilana Friedman is here. She's a veteran intelligence analyst specializing in terrorism and politics. Ilana trained in Israel. She's an advisor to law enforcement and global corporations. She's authored 4 books. She's a weekly columnist here at America Out Loud. Also joining us, George McClellan is here. He's a historian and political analyst. His professional career spans 43 years in law enforcement and the U.S. Naval Investigative Service. George is a weekly columnist and a frequent opinion op-ed guy at America Out Loud. Brilliant, brilliant analysis and write-ins for both George and Ilana. You'll see them right on the network, friends. I think we all got so wrapped up in the midterms, we forgot about the fact that Jeff Sessions was going to be fired right after the midterms. Or maybe, and if we didn't forget, Ilana, it was like hours as soon as the election had gone by and he was asked to tender his resignation, which he had written sometime before because he knew it was coming. And he resigned or was fired or pushed out, whatever you want to call it. The challenge here now is everybody has gone off the deep end. Joe Manchin comes out, says it's a potential constitutional crisis. Of course, the usual players like Adam Schiff and Chucky Schumer and all of them are. And of course, the media heads are all just saying the sky is falling here. What do you make of this with Sessions? Any big surprise here?
No, not really. I think many people have forgotten why he was fired in the first place. He came on as a very strong candidate for this position, and he almost on day one, he recused himself from the main purpose of the Mueller investigation. And by recusing himself from this whole investigation, this was part of his job, and it was a very important part. And Trump was counting on him to because he was, prior to this, a tremendous supporter of Trump. And then all of a sudden, he recused himself from this Russia, this whole thing with the dossier in Russia and all the things that Mueller is trying to build a case for against Trump. And Trump's big ally, who is the head of justice, the whole thing was just, it was scandalous to begin with, but we never talk about it anymore. I think Sessions should have gone a long time ago. You know, he had a meeting with the Russian ambassador, a couple of meetings with the Russian ambassador, and that's why he thought he needed to recuse himself. But he was wrong, and he did a disservice to his president. And I think it's good that he should go. It'll be interesting to see who comes next.
See, Ilana, I thought it was because he had a drink of Russian vodka one time. I wasn't sure what the reason was, but
maybe did that too.
Maybe that was the reason.
He can't have a meeting with a Russian ambassador, and not have a drink of vodka.
I don't know what it is, but anything Russian these days just doesn't seem to play well in the public sphere. Let's follow this bouncing ball a minute here, George, and then I'm going to go back and forth with both of you here, but let me just explain a couple of things to people, because my head is spinning when we talk about this stuff. I mean, and I'm sure, like everybody listening, most Americans, their heads are spinning too. So the president now, again, let's be clear, any cabinet position people, anybody in the branches of Department of Justice, FBI, anything, serve at the bequest of the president. Let's be clear what I'm saying here. Do you all get this now? Anybody on that level serve at the bequest of the president. This is, how many times have you heard that in your life? Okay, so we got that. If the president loses confidence, guess what? You get your walking papers, you leave. That's it, done, over with. Doesn't matter what the hell the reasons are, people. If he's done with you, he's done with you. That's the way it works in this country. You know, there's no guarantee. I mean, you know, cabinet members come and go all the time. I mean, it's like, it's not a big deal, really. But here's the thing, George, that's really crazy about this story. So Jeff Sessions leaves. Now, you got the Rod Rosenstein, of course, which is the Deputy Attorney General, who is the one who appointed Mueller to begin with, who flies on Air Force One with Trump. Can you imagine a meeting being a fly on a wall with these two? And, of course, you know that Trump is playing politics all the time with Rosenstein, who is the one who threw him under the bus, who works for the president, which really makes no sense to me either, George. It's like if you work for a corporation, George, and you put an investigative, whatever, a witch hunt onto your CEO, what the hell do you think that CEO would do to you?
Well, when you're talking about people in the Department of Justice and the FBI, almost all of those people are federal employees and come under a different set of rules. The director of the FBI and the attorney general, they're appointed. And they're appointed either from within the organization or another organization to hold. Those are the guys who are work at the pleasure of the president. They can be removed at the pleasure of the president.
The top positions you're saying now, George, the attorney general, the assistant attorney, that's what you're speaking about, right?
Yes, I am. That's what I'm speaking about. Yeah. Like Comey,
right,
for example, was not an FBI agent. He did not come up through the ranks. He was an attorney with the Department of Justice. And now it's one of the weaknesses. I think that the DOJ, they have their role as prosecutors, but not as police investigators. And they should not be running those organizations. A director should come up through the ranks. But that aside, and be approved by the Senate, of course. That is part of, that's how the thing works. Yes, this guy will work, and we by advice and consent, we will agree to him being the director of the FBI or the attorney general. Sessions came out of the Senate, and he looked very good, and everybody applauded Trump's choice. And then, as Lana said, the first thing he did was recuse himself. Well, that was like throwing a hand grenade into that whole mix, because here we had an investigation, the Mueller investigation I refer to, that has discovered absolutely nothing that concerns Trump and the Russians. They got some peripheral cases out of Manafort and Lewandowski or whatever for minor things.
Right.
And some Russians who will never come here to be tried. So that's a waste. That's a whole thing.
Well, speaking of the Mueller case now, there are many reports right now that this is wrapping up very shortly. That they have started to write the final report. Have you been hearing that as well?
I have indeed. What's left to investigate?
Right. Well, we understand that. But if they are indeed right in the final report, then this thing should come to a conclusion. Now, in the meantime, the president doesn't put Rosenstein in the lead role of acting attorney general, which over the next few months, while he appoints a permanent position and it has to be approved by the Senate. But instead, he puts this Matthew Whitaker in charge of the U.S., a good reputation in there, the Department of Justice. And he becomes the acting attorney general, if you will. And, of course, all hell breaks loose. You see that?
Oh, yeah, because they're afraid of him. He's as effective in his job as Trump is in his. And that's why Trump chose him.
I see.
That guy's going to do some damage, you betcha.
Wow, interesting. Ilana, this Matthew Whitaker now, the acting attorney general here, which again, now let's be clear, there's a lot of protest against this guy right now. I mean, I don't know if the other shoe drops on this thing or not, but there's a lot of protest about him and people are really going crazy because he has said a couple of things over the past couple of years which people do, that he didn't agree with the way things were exactly going. But you see, what they want in there, what the Democrat Party wants, on there, and what the far left wants in there is they want somebody who's going to hold Trump's back to the fire. They want him held accountable for something that doesn't even exist, Ilana, according to what we see here.
Well, I think that's part of the whole culture of Washington now. If the president does something, the Democrats are going to pile on him and the press is going to pile on him. There are some controversial things in Whitaker's background, as there are in just about everybody's background. And they're, of course, going in and pulling it out. CNN wrote about his running a conservative group funded by dark money, and then he apparently prosecuted a gay Democrat. And there are all kinds of things that they're going after him for that are really irrelevant. He was appointed to do a job. It was the president's right to appoint him. So, but the Democrats are angry that they didn't appoint. He didn't appoint Rosenstein.
Let me change the moment here. I want to talk about the elections that have been done. Oh, you mean they're not done? You mean the ones they're still counting? Yeah, those. Okay, we're not talking about 2020 now. We're talking about the ones that just passed, kids. You know, it's mind blowing. So we see what's going on in South Florida here, Broward County here. This supervisor of elections, Brenda Snipes. Well, the president comes out and says she has had a horrible history, and all of a sudden they're finding votes out of nowhere. And, you know, this has become, now Rick Scott, the current governor of Florida, soon to be senator, if everything stays the way it is, Ilana, he comes out and he sues. He's suing the counties down there and the supervisor of elections and all that to get with it. But there's a lot of people concerned with, there's a lot of shenanigans going on, not just in Florida, but in Georgia, which I want to talk to George about in a moment ago there, because George is from Georgia, and also Arizona. What do you make of all this, Ilana?
Well, I think it's more of the same. You know, this woman, Brenda Snipes, she's been under the magnifying glass because as far back as 2016, she was accused of having more registered voters than citizens, of destroying ballots, of cleaning voter rolls, and refusing—this is the one that gets me—refusing to remove dead voters from the voter rolls. She claims that she lost the manual that instructs her to do that. So, you know, and this is a woman who's just basically a crook. Somebody reported that they saw somebody carrying boxes of ballots out of the polling places and carrying them off in a truck, or a van or something. There were some 80,000 ballots that were in question. This is huge, and this woman should have been removed a long time ago, but she hasn't been. She's a Democrat. And she has
She keeps getting elected.
She keeps getting elected, and she keeps doing these dirty tricks.
Yeah. Well, the people seem
to
love her.
It's going to come and bite her this time. She's been caught, and this whole business of you know, saying that she lost the manual, it's like saying the dog ate my homework. Yeah, really?
George, talk a minute here. You know, what also is going on in Georgia is very interesting. You see with this race, Kemp resigned there from his post because he's going to take the governorship, clearly. Again, it's not looking like that's going to calm down as well. There's lawsuits that are being placed there. And what's the latest there?
There's not enough outstanding votes left in the Georgia election that would even push Stacey Adams into the governorship. It's just not going to happen.
Well, she wants a runoff, George. She's trying to get a runoff, right? That's what she's trying. She knows she can't win, but yeah.
Her goal. Exactly her goal. She wants to get to the runoff.
Get it below
the... A 50%, 50-50, and if it's 51, then whoever gets that wins, and that's the end of it. But it's that close.
Yeah.
And the Democrats have no intention ever. Do they have an intention of conceding an election to Republicans unless they've been totally blown out?
Well, clearly there's going to be lawsuits here. There's already lawsuits, but I think there's going to be a lot more lawsuits with whatever the outcome happens to be in Florida, Georgia, and potentially Arizona as well, as that keeps going on with Simina and McSally there. That's a race that seems to never end. He keeps going back and forth to lead there. Ilana Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you could hear the aghast coming from Washington when she was hospitalized just the end of this past week. She fractured three ribs in the fall. And I think the bottom line is, if something happens to her, Trump is going to be able to appoint another Supreme Court justice. She says, now she's been already out of the hospital. She says she's back at work Monday, Tuesday, whatever, and she's fine. The lady's 85 years old. Should we even have like some, I know they serve there for life, but I'm wondering if there shouldn't be a mandatory retirement age for these people. It's the same people in Congress. I mean, something's got to give, Ilana.
Well, you know, I'm a firm believer in term limits, and I think that it there may be an age boundary beyond which somebody should not serve. But one would think that the people who hold these high positions, particularly on the Supreme Court, would have the good judgment to know when to step down.
Exactly.
This is a woman who falls asleep in the middle of things.
I know.
And she does, she, you know, it's not clear that she's very sharp when she's awake, But, you know, she's 85. She falls asleep. This is what 85-year-olds do.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm half her age, and I fall asleep, darling. What do you want from me? I mean, come on.
I think the fact that she wants to hold on until she's 90, I think she said.
Well,
it's all political. First of all, it's just an artificial number.
Yeah.
And secondly, she should have the good grace to step down when she has
You would think. But this whole notion of you're there for life, I think they think that means you're there for life and death and just sit there forever till you rot away or something. I'm not sure what the hell that means, Ilana, but it's very disturbing. What do you think about Speaker Pelosi? Are you excited, George?
Yes, I am. I hope she hangs in there. She keeps on giving. In fact, Pelosi did her thing. She was a good politician, but like Judge Ginsburg, she is entering the field of dementia, clearly. When you stand up in front of an audience and you cannot remember names or places or dates or events or get them in the right context, that's a problem. That's a problem for her leadership. Now, that has reflected on the millennials, the David Hogg types of the Ocasio, this young, silly woman from New York who won, the youngest congressman.
All right. In fact, let me just tell folks right now, we need to take up a donation for Ocasio-Cortez so we can help her get an apartment. Would everybody send $50 to my email address, talk@americaoutloud.com. $50 a person, and I'll help Ocasio get an apartment, right?
A GoFundMe account.
That's what we need for her, a GoFundMe account.
There you go.
Wow, I got to tell you what. I'd like to start a new website, guys, and call it the Go to Hell account, right? You can imagine what I'd do with that. What?
Did you catch that in Pelosi's acceptance speech, well, victory speech on election night, she used all of Trump's terms in describing her program, and she ended it by saying, "We want to clean up the swamp." She was unbelievable. She was talking about infrastructure and all of his programs she had on her list, and I thought it was hysterical.
Well,
I thought she may have gotten the wrong script to read.
Don't forget, she just had a meeting with President Trump after the Democrats won, and Trump gave her a come to Jesus talk.
As they say, if you can't beat them, join them. And that's exactly what that's all about right there. Friends, big thank you here to George McClellan, Ilana Friedman. Up next, we have a big conversation coming about this mass shooting in California, mental illness, gun-free zones. Stay right there, friends, as Viewpoint rolls on.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, friends, welcome back to Viewpoint. And, you know, we're seeing this far too often. Quite frankly, I think a lot of us are tired of talking about it, but it's a fact of life. The real reality here is this new world order we're in is you've got to have a plan. You have to have a plan, people. You cannot be out in the public. You can't have your family on the public. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you need to have a plan. I mean, because you're just seeing this far too often. You just never know. You take the college kids in California here who were out just having a good time and evening, just, you know, dancing, having a drink, whatever. You know, it's a typical weekend night. Nothing wrong with that, right? And then some killer comes in, some lunatic, and decides to take a dozen people and massacre them because he wants to die and go to hell as well. Amazing to me, people, I gotta tell you. And we're seeing it far too often. Big problem here, mental illness again. How many times do we hear that? And what I wonder next is how many mental people are there running around on the planet? The next stupid thing is the gun-free zones. I mean, this is an oxymoron. You put a sign up there that just says, come on in and shoot us up because nobody has guns. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, who's running this thing at this point? I mean, that's what I'd like to know. Well, let's get to our discussion here. Welcome on here. Lieutenant Joseph Pengero is here. He's a retired police lieutenant, director of school security. He's a master trainer and the owner of Pengero Training. And he is the host of Chasing Justice right here on America Out Loud, friends. Dennis Santiago is here. He's a global risk and financial analyst. His subject matter expertise includes strategic warfare, asymmetric warfare, arms control, and global stability. I put the emphasis on control, Dennis, because I think we'll have to have a little control out there or something, you know. All right, so this guy was an ex-Marine. So he goes, and this is a place he frequented often. It's a country music bar there in Los Angeles. Not far from where you live, Dennis, out there in Los Angeles. And the guy frequents there. He knows some of the people there. He decides to go in, and he decides that he's going to die today. But he's going to take a dozen people with him. What's the fallout there from Los Angeles? Tell us what you know.
Yeah, it hits people, and it hits people directly because, you know, I know these people. The people that were killed, they're within 1-2 degrees of relationship to me. And it's hit this town pretty hard in terms of who you know, who was there. It brings up old things. There were about 59 people that were in Las Vegas for the Route 91 shooting a couple of years ago, and so it brings up it brought up something personal for me because you know I had a friend that died in Las Vegas. A friend of mine was working with one of the people that was killed in Thousand Oaks, who was active in, of all things, helping veterans with PTSD. So it hits pretty hard when you and quite personal. Now the police are investigating it to see whether he went there because he was looking for revenge from an ex-girlfriend. It's just weird stuff. The really weird thing about this dude is that, you know, they could have had him in 2014 because they bottled him up at his house, and he was crazy then. He was crazy even before that. And but the Department of Mental Health in Los Angeles did not commit him in 2014. You know, so there's speculation going around on why didn't they do that back then when they basically had the guy inside his house tearing the place up, and they should have put him in for 2 weeks under a 5150, and they did not do it. Yeah. I mean, there's speculation as to why they didn't. Maybe the bottom line is this is a fall through the crack of great proportion. And I'll tell you one other thing, Malcolm. I mean, you know, there were cops in that venue. And you know what? They were all unarmed.
Yeah, you said there were several cops, right?
Yes. All my cop friends out here in Los Angeles are kind of livid because they go like there were 6 of them in there. None of them had their guns.
Because you can't have a gun in a gun-free zone. Right.
Yeah. So basically, you know, they were sheep just like everybody else.
Right, right. You know, Lieutenant Pengero, there are a lot of people I've seen afterward. There were some very emotional people. Clearly, this is a very emotional topic and subject. And there were people on camera who were going there about the guns. I mean, they were pleading with humanity to get rid of guns, like them evaporate from the planet somehow. And you could feel the pain in their voice. I seen a couple of them, a couple of women, and you could feel the pain. One was a mother, one was someone else. But yet they don't understand, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. You can't, it's not going to happen. But here's the thing we can't get people to understand, Lieutenant, is why is it that these people think that gun-free zones are some sort of a salvation to have some mass, again, for the next lunatic to come in? It's the same thing that's happened in our schools. They want gun-free zones.
Well, when you look at the idea, and first of all, Dennis, I'm sorry for you and the entire community out there. The whole country is reeling over this, each of these incidents, but especially this most recent one. But Malcolm, when I look at the gun-free zones, it's you're asking people who have carry permits and whatnot, don't bring your gun in. And the only thing I could think of is potentially they think somebody might have too many drinks and start playing with their gun and then accidentally shoot somebody, get into an argument, pull their gun out and shoot somebody, as opposed to a person like this who comes in with his intent to murder and to kill. Mm-hmm. Well, at that point, you're right. Everybody in there, including the police officers that were unarmed, are basically just the next victims, and they're running to hide like everybody else. So there's a skewed message we have, you know, gun-free zone. What do we think? The bad guys are going to walk up to the door and see the sign that says, you know, gun-free zone, and go, oh, well, I guess I can't go in here and kill people because I can't bring my gun. It's absurd.
It's absurd.
So it's part of the problem we have in our country is trying to come to grips mm-hmm. with these major issues that we have. You know, guns are part of our history. It's part of our freedom. It's part of our protection of your home and your family. Mm-hmm. But with that comes people, and I think you hit it the nail right on the head. It's mental illness, diagnosed or undiagnosed mental illness, we don't talk about in this country. We don't deal with it.
No, because the problem, Joe, with some of this is this, and I don't know where the fine line is. Like when Dennis says, well, this guy was, you know, apprehended in 2014. They knew he was a bit of a lunatic then, but Los Angeles didn't put him away, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The other thing that comes to my mind, Joe, and I'm sure you cover this in a lot of your trainer stuff, or what I wonder about is sometimes there are people who are not mentally ill who get locked up into these places. And I've seen horror stories about that, and they're not good. I mean, they're not good when that happens. And I don't know where that fine line is, Joe. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And part of it is correct. As a police officer, you go out. We get called to emotionally disturbed person calls all the time. Right. You have to make an evaluation. Now, all of us have had a bad day. All of us have gotten angry or upset about something, a personal argument at home, screaming and hollering, you know, what kind of thing happens. It's part of being a human being. When the police show up and they try and make that evaluation, they're trying to determine, are you a danger to yourself or somebody else? So putting someone in an institution or to a hospital, a mental hospital, locking them down for several days, that's a major thing to do to someone, just like arresting them, dragging them out of their home and putting them in a jail cell. So when you go there, you know, you can try and evaluate. Some things are real obvious. If the person is incoherent, if they are making threats, if they're talking about hurting themselves, then the officers are going to make that decision on their own. This person has to go to the hospital and be evaluated. But if somebody is just upset and you're not really sure, you're not a psychologist, you call in that roving team. And a lot of communities have that, where people will come out and they will evaluate. Well, by the time they get there, usually the person has calmed down a little bit. Maybe their anger or whatever they was that has subsided a bit. And now they talk to these people and say, listen, I just had a bad day. I didn't mean to get upset. I had a couple of cocktails. And they talk to them and say, okay, well, do you think you're going to hurt yourself or anybody else? No, I'm sorry I caused all this trouble. Well, at that point, they make the determination he's not dangerous. He just had a bad moment.
Right.
And that'd be like saying, well, Malcolm, you had a bad moment. We're going to drag you away and put you in a mental asylum for 2 days until we evaluate you. We have to be very careful. But there are signs, as you know, in the columns I write for America Out Loud, is there mm-hmm. there are signs that we can see. And unfortunately, I don't know what's happened recently with this guy, but he obviously had some serious problems to do what he did.
Yeah, I mean, you have to go off the deep end. I mean, somebody who, you know, was a patriot for the country, is a Marine, and was, you know, trying to provide that level of service, you would think they would understand and value the sanctity of life. I mean, clearly. But again, this war thing does some really strange things to some of our vets, and PTSD is a real problem out there, man.
It absolutely is. And see, that's the thing. When you ask about my training, as a hostage crisis negotiator, mm-hmm. I got to teach everybody, they have to have a common understanding. When you're dealing with someone who's in crisis, like this person obviously was, mm-hmm. they're not thinking like a regular person.
Right.
You don't say to them, hey, listen, you're about to go kill 12 people. Why don't you rethink that? Mm-hmm. That's not part of their thought. They're not thinking clearly. There's
right.
a problem.
What becomes of our future here for mental illness? Because I keep hearing this, and I'm confused, Dennis. Really, I'm confused. We talk about we don't spend enough money. We don't do this. We don't do that. But what is the answer for this mental illness business?
Well, Malcolm, I mean, you know, I don't think the line was that fine on this one. The thing is, you err on the side of caution in these things. If you got a guy that's possibly 5150 and you don't take him in, all right, mm-hmm. then the system is failing. The system is there. what caused those people to not commit this guy in 2014, even as a precautionary move? They take you in for 2 weeks, evaluate you. They give you the 400-question questionnaire to really get a picture of where your head's at, and then they make a determination there. And that's from where the intervention can start. I mean, the guy was a veteran, right? So you've got both L.A. Department of Mental Health resources and the VA that could have been put on this guy and done something about it.
So you're saying they're not doing their job is what you're saying to me, yeah?
Yes, I am.
All right. So he should have done something. So the system failed. All right. So how do we make the system fail less, Joe?
Well, I think we have to make some decisions as a society. You know, right now, your personal liberties are paramount in everything. Right. Are we going to make a decision as a society to set out some maybe more strict, more stringent guidelines of when we will take someone out of their home, off the street? And, you know, here in the East Coast in New Jersey, it's 3 days of a commitment. If it's 2 weeks out in California, I think that opens up an even bigger door for people who would be against this to say, you're basically arresting and confining someone for 2 weeks that may or may not have a problem. That's okay if, as a society, we come up with the guidelines that say if you're engaging in these behaviors, it's in society's best interest to remove you and have you fully evaluated. I think we have to start going that way because, unfortunately, what we're doing now is not working. We see this time and time and time again. People with these problems, you know, could there be an intervention if we got to them and we could force the intervention? Mm-hmm. That's where it's a slippery slope because today, we see it's an obvious guy like this that should have been handled a little differently. Mm-hmm. But then I go back to the example of you're just having a bad day, Malcolm. You mm-hmm. go off, you scream and holler, and now we're going to drag you away for 2 weeks. There has to be specific guidelines to do this because we've got to protect civil liberties. And at the same time, we've got to protect the rest of us from people who are dangerous. So that's a societal question. But we have to take it out of the closet. We have to talk about it.
Right, right. Well, it sounds to me like we need a task force on this. We need something big. Dennis, what about that? What about a task force, something on a national level? And why isn't that happening, maybe?
Well, I mean, there should be one. And this is a very important question. I mean, let me put it, you know, just let mitigate some of this, okay? Having PTSD doesn't necessarily mean you're dangerous. I know lots of people with PTSD. They're really nice people. Mm-hmm. You know, I call them up, I check on them, and we talk, and you know, yeah. and they're not dangerous. Okay, it's just a few that have these characteristics where they go over the edge, and they may not go over the edge for very long. But it's in those windows when something has gone wrong that we do not have an effective way of from a societal right. standpoint, understanding them and helping them in their moment of need. Instead, what we do as a society, Malcolm, is we look away and pretend it doesn't exist.
Well, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that happens a lot. You're 100% right. I mean, you're right. And people always look away. You know, I want to tell you something here, both of you guys. And Joe, you just said a moment ago that, and I take what you say, both of you, with, I mean, it's good information here. But Joe, when you said, okay, well, they may not want those officers or whoever, anybody in the bar that Dennis was pointing out that didn't have guns, back to the gun-free zone business, okay, because maybe they have a drink or two and maybe there's a contest or somebody goes off. And I get that, Joe. And that stuff happens in bars all the time. You know, alcohol and drugs are a combination and a mix with weapons that can create some hazardous results. And everybody should identify that and know that. But here's the thing, Joe. If your wife came out to you today and said, you know, honey, I'm going to take the kids and we're going to go out to a country and Western concert over here, you'd probably, something inside of you would probably, I know for me, it would say, oh, that doesn't sound right. I mean, and I don't mean to pick on country and Western, Joe. Could be they're going out to a rock band tonight. Because now you're seeing this in public venues and concerts and things like this. But here's the thing, Joe. You know, here's what I think should happen now. Back to this gun-free zone business. I think we need, and I'm going to suggest legislation, we need proper legislation. Back to the task force, one of the things I think the task force needs to say is this. If you have a group of people together, and we can constitute what a group means, whatever, more than three, more than 10, I don't know, pick a number. But when you have a group together, and back to this whole bit, you are by law, must have a security officer there, somebody with a gun. That's the new law. Joe, what about that law?
Well, I think that's fine if we set that up, because whenever there is an event, there are usually prerequisites to that event. How many security personnel, how many bathrooms, how many parking spaces. So you could certainly require certain things. If you're going to have an event where there will be people, you have to have armed security, whether that be the local police that you hire for extra details, or if you go to a armed security company and you do that, that can be set up very easily as part of the contract.
Right.
And like you said, if you can't afford to do that,
don't do it.
Then you can't have it.
I would say, you know, that's a very expensive way to do it. I have an even better suggestion for you. Okay.
What is it?
If you got a group of people, six of you, and let's say you all have, let's say you're all police officers, right? One of you should be a designated driver, all right? You're not drinking that night because you're packing the gun. And you go out there with a group, and one of you is there for protection. You don't need to hire people for the venue or anything like that. You just have to have this basically cultural new policy that says, if you got a group of people and one of you is going to be the designated driver, yeah, you know, you're not drinking a thing. Put an arm, a band around your hand that basically marks you as a guy that the bartender won't give anything to, and you can have free soda water all night long and have a good time. But you know what? Take turns protecting everybody else. That's the way to do it. It doesn't cost money. What it does is it costs commitment on the part of human beings looking out for each other. We can do that in this country.
The holidays are coming up. And, you know, people are going to go out shopping. They're going to go on to watch shows. We are all soft target in our country for whether it's mentally unbalanced people, lone wolf terrorists, for people that want to do us harm. Mm-hmm. Situational awareness is what you have to take into account.
Okay.
I go out with my family and I'm not paranoid. I'm aware and prepare. I look around. I see what's going on. You're in the mall and you hear a commotion up ahead.
Mm-hmm.
The average person hears that. They're going to run up there and see what's going on. This is where common sense in the modern world dictates, don't go see what's going on. Start to make your move to leave the area.
Exactly.
If it turns out it's nothing, you're okay. If it turns out it was something bad, you were moving in the other direction. These are just common sense things, which is, it's unfortunate that we have to live in this kind of a world. But like you said earlier, the genie's not going back in the bottle.
No.
We're not going to go door to door and confiscate everybody's weapons. So therefore, the mental health component is huge. We can see these people before they attack, and we have to come up with a way to deal with them before they attack people, to intervene, to get them the help that they need, or whatever it is, before we have another set of 10, 12, 15, or 100.
Well, that's exactly it. And that's good advice, Joe. Thank you. Thank you for saying what you just said and all those tips. And a big thank you both here to Dennis Santiago, Lieutenant Joseph Banguero. Last thought on this, people, is this. Back to this new world order we're talking about here right now. You do have to make a conscious decision as a parent, as a husband or a wife or whoever, whatever the situation is. Dennis says, well, it's minuscule the times it happens. Well, yeah, of course, the poor souls that are blown away all the time in every next massacre, they thought it was, you know, maybe they weren't paranoid either. I don't know, people. Maybe we all need to be a little more paranoid at this point. You know, so, well, that's going to hurt our freedom. But of course, there's a lot of dead people that are in graveyards that also weren't paranoid enough, and they're dead. You get it? I mean, so how many is too many? One is too many. So whether that's minuscule or not, I think it's a problem. I think it's time for a task force. I think it's time to get after this thing. I think it's time to arm people. The hell with this gun-free zone, people. I put some people out there with bazookas. You come after us, we're going to take your head off. We're going to take anybody else off as well. I'm just saying, people. It's time to do something. More Viewpoint, friends, in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Yes, does everybody understand who Antifa is, first of all, I'm wondering? Let me explain to you in basic English who these people are. And I'm not going to use the word thugs. I'm not going to use the word rude, obnoxious, disgusting, lowlife, not human. I'm not going to use any of that, people. I will tell you that they're a movement. They are the official definition is they're a conglomeration of left-wing, autonomous, self-styled, anti-fascist militant groups in the United States of America here. Back again from the previous segment, Lieutenant Joseph Pangaro is here. Now, he is the host of a show called Chasing Justice on America Out Loud. It's fantastic. It's a great program. I'll tell you more about that a little bit later here, and we have a new time we're going to announce here on today's show as well for that show. Also, the neighborhood is here. If you've listened to Chasing Justice, you've heard some voices in there. You've heard the neighborhood. Joe, you introduce everybody. Go ahead.
Sure. We have Jack Rock and Roll Race Car Driver Patterson. Jack is a tremendous all-American kind of guy. He always tells you the right things, and he's really a decent person. Then we have Bill Dallas, the man of faith. Bill is a wonderful human being that always takes the side of doing the right thing, and he brings a lot of religious connotation to things. He's always looking for, what would be the best for everybody. And then we have Jim the Contrarian Giordano, and the reason we call Jim that is because if you say the sky is blue, Jim will say it's light blue. He will always take an opposite point of view, but his purpose is to bring you to a better place and make you think things out instead of just running your mouth. And that's the guys in the neighborhood.
Amen. Very good. Good to have you all here. And, you know, Jim, you and I would get along well because I'm the same way as you are, Jim. I question everything. Like, Ava, would you call me a bit of a contrarian as well or just a pain in the ass? Which one?
Oh, I think you're a combination.
Also joining us is Ava Armstrong, as near as you can hear. Joe, I want to start with you. So this really happened, where a group of them, they gathered on the outside. They got his address, Tucker Carlson's home address. His wife was home. He was not home. The kids, and they put it on social media, and they started screaming and yelling and gotten really, really spray-painted and vandalized. I don't know what's going to become of that story, but what did you make of it, Joe?
Well, I have to tell you, you were trying to think of, you gave us a good definition of the Antifa. I have a word, too. It's dangerous. We have a right to protest in our country. You have a right to make your opinions heard. But the way this group reacts, they are a danger to everyone, everywhere they go. They don't follow the law. They cover their faces, particularly so that they can't be identified when they do things. What they did at Tucker Carlson's house is an attack on Tucker and his family. That's an assault. They broke his door trying to get in. You start going to people's houses and it's going to turn into one of these events where you start coming through a door, breaking a door, someone's going to get hurt very bad and things are going to spill over. And that's what I see this whole movement, the fact that we have police agencies and political bodies in some of these cities who are telling their cops to back down and let these people run wild in the street. They are abandoning the people in their community to lawlessness and danger. And that is only going to boil over and be really bad.
You know, Ava, that's what Joe says there. That's come to some of the things you and I've been talking about and what we've done at some of our meetings here at America Out Loud, right? Exactly what Joe says.
Exactly. And I also wanted to know from these guys, does this meet the definition of domestic terrorism?
I would say it definitely meets that definition. I mean, we have people that are protesting peacefully, and these guys come out. I'll use the word thugs. I don't mind using that. They go out there trying to direct traffic. They're shouting profanities. They're breaking car windows. If that's not domestic and if that's not violence, I don't know what is.
Yeah, you've seen that happen. Jim, you've seen that happen in Oregon. That was the big blob a couple of weeks ago. We talked about that on Viewpoint where they were unbelievable. I mean, they were in the street stopping cars, screaming at people, racist comments, all kinds of things, huh?
I see these people are anti-American, and it's so obvious to me that they are communists. And their interest is exactly to bring down the United States of America and replace our values, our traditional values, with a totalitarian state. And they do that through anarchy.
I'm calling on Twitter anyways, and I'm contacting Donald Trump, President Trump. I want to start a RICO investigation on Antifa, because I think this is very important to get ahead of this and not wait for something explosive to happen.
What do you think about doing a RICO investigation there, Jim? What do you think?
Oh, I think it needs to be done. There's no law and order anymore, and the RICO statute should apply in this case with Antifa, and I think actually it should apply to the Democratic Party.
Jack, I want you to pick up on that. What Jim says rings out loud to me, and when he says anti-American, and I wonder often, some of these people, some of these groups, as hostile as they are, I mean, they're out there, they're burning flags, they're beyond kneeling, I mean, they're destructive in every way, but it is kind of an anti-American movement, isn't it?
Absolutely. This group is the epitome of people who won't listen to reason, people who won't listen to every side of the story and make up their own mind. They're basically picking this up as a way, some of them, to have fun. I honestly believe that. A lot of them are so far divorced from what communism is and was that they don't understand. Be careful what you wish for, because you may get it. Yeah. They don't understand where this is going to lead them, where this is going to take them. As far as what happened on Carlson's lawn, I feel that's a police matter, and that should have been stopped. Not to use deadly force, I'm not going to go there, but certainly to take people away and detain them or incarcerate them for what they did. You're on private property.
I just want to walk this forward a little bit. If that were me, if I were Tucker Carlson's wife and somebody was beating on the door, there would be a tactical Mossberg locked and loaded, and they would have one warning, and that would be it. That, and the violence would, it would be on like Donkey Kong at my house.
Ava, you bring up a really, really good point. What point do the rest of us get to defend ourselves? How much do we have to take to be injured, our families be injured? My elderly father-in-law, he gets stopped in that traffic and they start smashing on his car. How much do they have to take before we step in and stop this nonsense? I believe Antifa is looking for that moment, not looking for any one individual to be killed or injured, but they're looking for that point. They're looking to martyr someone to further the beliefs of their group. And it's really sad that this can't be brought to justice.
Yeah. Right. That's a lack of leadership. That's weakness on our political leaders. When you see that they call people away, so let them do it because they're afraid. They're afraid for that confrontation, Jack.
They don't want it.
Because you put the police down there to protect and serve, and you get people swinging sticks and attacking people, and the police are allowed to use more force than it's coming at them to put that down and get rid of them. And then they'll have the media taking pictures to look at the evil police officers attacking these innocent protester Antifa who are just trying to tell us we don't like Donald Trump. And they're dying for that moment. And that's you're exactly right, Jack. They're waiting for that moment to happen. But Antifa is dangerous to all. When do our rights kick in? Exactly. When do we get to be safe in our communities again from these people? They want to protest. That's great. Go over to that park over there with your permit and protest. Step in the street and block cars. Then you drag them away and you put them in jail. And it has to have some kind of consequence for them. Not that they go in front of the judge and the judge says, well, you were just protesting, so there's no fine, and they let them go. It means nothing, and they will not stop. There's consequences for your actions. If you protest, which is your right to do, and you do civil disobedience and you block traffic, you get locked up, you pay the penalty. That's part of what it is. That has been used historically in our country, and that's fine. But there has to be a penalty. Our families, us, all of us should be protected from that. And the Attorney General and a RICO investigation, Ava, I think would go a long way to putting some of those people in prison that says, hey, you can't do this anymore. Protest, fine. What you're doing is dangerous, and it is terrorist.
It's totally wrong. And, you know, you bring up a good point about the Department of Justice and the Attorney General. Now, listen to me. The Department of Justice and the FBI have been so busy playing their political shenanigans and trying to go after all this funny stuff that's happening with the president and the rest of it, right? That they're not doing their job, Joe, clearly.
They're
and
not.
So, right or wrong?
It's absolutely right. We are left to fend for ourselves.
Exactly,
and God forbid you defend yourself, then they'll come after you, because it's okay to come after the person who defends themselves, because we have no resources to back anything up.
Well, that's why Sessions wasn't the right guy for Attorney General. I mean, I get the whole Southern Alabama gentleman kind of thing. I get that. But that's not the guy I want protecting the country. I'm sorry. I need a tough person in there. That makes sense, guys? Let's go around the room here. Jack, what do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, you need strong leadership, especially at a point like this. All these Antifa antics are being reported but not being acted on, and we need somebody who's going to be forthright, take the lead, and
take the lead.
Get a plan of action.
That's exactly right. Jim, what do you think?
You know, it's very frustrating. You see, a lot of criminal activity or purported criminal activity being perpetrated by the elite, people who have certain political affiliations, and there's never an answer. There's never an indictment. It just
exactly.
It's just a words are said, and the next thing you know, there's no answer to the question.
Because there's no accountability. There's no accountability. Yeah,
exactly.
They just get away with it.
Sessions did not give that to me. I hope the next person who takes the office, I trust, will be the right person. In order to
let's talk about that a moment. Who would be the right person that I'm talking about a permanent attorney general, not the the active one he's got in there now. I'm talking about permanent. Who would be a good one for that role? Get some ideas. Throw it out there, guys. Who's got an idea?
Right now, if I could have my way and things could be different, I'd elect Norman Schwarzkopf. That's basically who we need to get everything back in line.
Remember him? Norman Schwarzkopf? He's gone now. He's gone.
I like Rudy Giuliani. I think Rudy was a strong fighter. He's not afraid to let his opinions loose. And he is a guy that, whether you like him or don't like him, he's a strong leader.
Because Rudy don't back down, Joe, right? He doesn't back down.
He doesn't back down, and he will go after criminals. And that's what we need.
I like Joe DiGenova.
Joe DiGenova. Okay. Yep. All right. I mean, better than Rudy? Better than Rudy, Ava?
Oh, yeah. He's a wartime consigliere, definitely.
Okay. Well, who else, guys?
Well, the people who are being considered are Chris Christie and Pam Bondi, I believe, from Florida. Both, I don't think, are tremendous candidates.
Yeah, does anybody like them, too? Thanks for bringing those names up. Does anybody think that Chris Christie would make a good attorney general? Yes? No? Yes?
No.
Too polarizing. I don't think so. I think Chris has too big of an ego, and I think he would do what's in the best interest of Chris and say, hey, this is an opportunity down the road for me to get back in politics.
That's a great point.
Let me play the fence here. And Pam Biondi,
what do you think about her?
Strong. I liked her in Florida, but I don't know enough about her to say, hey, she could take the reins of the Justice Department and do what needs to be done today.
Anybody think that Pam Bondi would make a good attorney general for the country? Anybody?
No.
Okay. All right.
I think we need someone out of the box. Someone who's not affiliated with government. Someone that no one even knows who they are.
How about Ava Armstrong?
Ava. I vote for Ava. You go get
him. I was just thinking a minute. Don't we need a? Wouldn't it be interesting to have a strong woman in that role? I mean, a real right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's one other thing that I'm finding that is really scary to me is the media rhetoric that's ratcheting up this violence. I want you guys to speak to that.
Well, in terms of Ava, in terms of rules of engagement, this is where my contrarian point of view is going to come in. I think we need to look at the rules of engagement for police officers. I see too much violence, too quick to act violently in order to secure someone. And I see that when I watch television shows. I see that, you know, on Live PD. And I think we need to fix that problem, because perception in the public, it's not good for the profession.
Jack and Bill, do either of you agree with what Jim says there, or are you on the opposite side of that?
Well, you know, the hardest question there that Jimmy brings up is, how do you turn someone on and turn them off in certain situations? Mm-hmm. When it comes to Antifa, when it comes to defending people's property, such as what we just saw happening, mm-hmm. How do you take that police officer and tell him, listen, you're going to go in there and you're going to take and physically remove these people from this private property, mm-hmm. and you're going to detain and or lock these people up, mm-hmm. and you're going to use whatever force is necessary, whatever force is used against you, I should say, in return to quiet the situation. You know, it's very hard to then take that police officer and turn him off and say, listen, we don't want you to do anything. We don't want you to touch anybody. The cameras are upon you. Mm-hmm. It's a slippery slope. It's a horrible situation for a police officer to be in when he's trying to uphold the law and he's portrayed on the news as a bully or a thug.
I got to agree with you, Jack. Just think, right now, Antifa, all these protesters, right now, they're allowed to wear masks, carry batons and sticks. And how long is it going to be before the honest protesters start doing the same thing and start fighting back? You know, we've lost our moral compass as a country. And I believe with all my heart that it all started back when a U.S. president behaved immorally and right in the Oval Office and then lied to the American people. Now, if we see the leader of our country acting in such a way, why can't we do that? Why do we have to listen to authority? You know, why do we have to listen to the police? These protesters, these Antifa are getting away with things that 20 years ago never would have happened, ever.
We, the people, have enacted laws through our legislatures, and then we have put the police out there to enforce the laws. To do that, we've given the police extraordinary powers, and we have responsibilities as citizens. Whether you like it or not, and you get stopped by a police officer, and he tells you, turn the car off, you don't get to argue with him. You turn the car off. If he says, step out, and in almost every state in the United States, if an officer wants you out of the car for no reason at all, because he feels better or she feels better getting you out of the car, you get out of the car because that's what you were ordered to do. If they tell you to put the cigarette out, you put the cigarette out. We don't get to talk back. We don't get to argue. If they want to arrest you, you might not like it. But you know what? You fight that in court.
A lot of people don't like authority, Joe. A lot of people don't like authority. That's right. That's right.
And that's the place for court to go in and say, the cop shouldn't have arrested me. The cop shouldn't have stopped me. The cop shouldn't have called me a name. You do that in court.
Sure,
on the
sure. Yeah, both sides.
I really think the mainstream media is whipping this up into a frenzy.
All right, Abra, I want to give you the last word.
Well, I'm going to read a little quote. We, the willing, led by the unknowing, are doing the impossible for the ungrateful. We have done so much for so long with so little. We are now qualified to do anything with nothing. That describes police officers to me.
Wow.
Sure it does.
Wow.
Abra, you're a great friend to law enforcement. Everybody should listen to your show.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it's so true. I mean, so true. Boy, I love quotes like that. They make you think, Abra. You know, it makes you totally, totally think. Boy, all you guys make people think here. Jack, Jim, Bill, the guys in the neighborhood on Chasing Justice, and Lieutenant Joe Panguero. Now, let me tell you folks right now, Chasing Justice has moved to a new time frame, and you can hear it at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, friends. At 3 p.m. EST, you can hear it anywhere in the world, of course. You can hear it on our apps or on iHeartRadio or really at a media player. There are many connection points. Just go to AmericaOutloud.com and tune into the guys and hear them. The show's great. Lieutenant Joe always has great guests on. Different things happen in there. So we encourage you to do that, friends. Thank you. Big thank you here to all of you guys here, and thank you for being part of it. Friends, a lot happening out there. We continue to take on the topics here, and it's explosive. It's an explosive time. I always say we live in historical times, but it is time to take some action. We talk about a task force. It's time for a task force, people, to go after this shooting business and mental illness and gun-free zone business. It's time to take that on. I'm ready to take it on. And also, Abra, your thoughts on the RICO investigation to go after these groups like Antifa that we've been talking about and so on and so forth, and just all of this domestic terrorism stuff that we're discussing as well, friends. Anyways, you'll hear it all back, friends, at AmericaOutloud.com. Thank you again. You can email us at talk@AmericaOutloud.com. And as you can hear from the conversation today, we will always deliver an honest analysis and opinions on all sides of the political aisle. While we don't discriminate against an opinion, the main thing is we are always in search of the out loud truth.